Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Now, there are wrong reasons to fast, and the Bible is very clear on what those are. We see that in the parable that Jesus gave in the Gospel of Luke, very familiar parable, Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And I'm sure everybody knows what that is, Luke 18, 9 through 14. Here we're going to find an example of improper fasting. Luke 18 and 9, the Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week.'" Whoa. "I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So here we find the Pharisee, he was boasting of his fasting. In fact, he was boasting about doing it twice a week. "Look at me." That's what he's saying up there. He's up there in the temple and he's boasting. He's strutting his chest out and he says, "I'm much better than all these sinners. Especially, I mean, like that publican down there. Look at that guy. He don't fast, but look at me. I fast twice a week and I give my tithes." I mean, he's just really, really boasting here. And listen, fasting was not a commandment for this Pharisee to do. It was commanded in God's word one time. And they were to fast on the Day of Atonement. That was the day of fasting for the Jew on the Day of Atonement. Now, I'm going to tell you about four more fasts that they did institute later on. But in the beginning here, there's only commandment from God is for the Jew to fast one time a year, and that is at the Day of Atonement. These things the Pharisees were doing were the traditions of the fathers, or traditions of men. And so the Pharisee had added all these traditions on to everything that they were doing. And some of those were fasting every Monday and Thursday. And those, by the way, are the synagogue days. So people that were lived out in the country, they would come into the city, they'd come to the synagogue. And it was the day of fasting, Mondays and Thursdays. And if you were anybody, if you were a godly person, you would be caught fasting. In fact, the Pharisees went so far as to make sure everybody knew about their fasting. And Jesus warns about it. Look at it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. This is another example of what you're not supposed to do. We're talking about wrong reasons to fast and wrong ways to fast. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Jesus speaking, he says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Well, here we see Jesus telling us straight out. He says, "Listen, when you fast, when you do this, don't be like these hypocrites." And he's of course referring to those like the publican here. I've read in historical accounts that they would actually make up this kind of powdery substance and mix it with water, where it was kind of grayish white look, and they would rub it on their face to make them look all, you know, like they were really bad off. And they would walk around, you know, like this, so that everybody would see them. So, "Oh, the Pharisees, look at them, they're fasting. Oh, those holy men of God." And that's what they were after. They were after that applause from men. And that, my friend, is the reward that they were receiving, this applause from men. And I believe not only were they getting the reward from men for that, they're going to get rewarded in a different way, too, they're going to get rewarded by the wrath of God upon them. And so they're going to receive their reward, their applause from men, attention from men, but they're also going to receive a reward of punishment from God for their phony religious acts. And so Jesus warns about this. And he told them, listen, nobody should even know that you're fasting. You shouldn't have to go around telling people. Don't try to make everybody know about it. It should be done in secret. Carry on your same routine. He talks about it. He says, anoint your head, wash your face so that you look normal. Yeah, instead of walking around, you know, oh, I'm about to die. I'm so hungry. I've been fasting. Well, so this is what the wrong way to fast. So the question is, everybody asks, are we commanded to fast? Does the Bible come out and say Christians are commanded to fast? Well, the short answer is no. There is no commandment for a Christian to fast. Like I said, there was one commandment from the law of God, and it was for fasting. It was given to the Jews in the Levitical law. It's in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 through 31. And here it is. It says, and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls. There's those words, afflict your souls. That means fasting. And do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by statute forever. So here that afflict your souls, it means fasting. They were putting everything out of their lives, everything out of them, and focusing their attentions upon God is what they're doing. This is the Day of Atonement. It's very important. And so this is the commandment from God for the Jew to fast. This was not written for the Christian to fast. Christians are not bound by the Levitical law. And by the way, the Jew is not any longer either. There are four other fasts that the Bible mentions for the Jew. And this occurred after the captivity of Babylon. If you want to look at it, they're in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 19. Zechariah 8 and 19. This is when those captives came back from Babylon. And the Bible says this, Zechariah 8 and 19. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore love the truth and peace. And so they were observing these four fasts there in the land of Judah after the captivity. But now, having said all that, we're not bound by law. We're not bound by the Hebrews, the Jews, or anything like that for fasting. However, in the Word of God, it is assumed that Christians will fast. It's an assumption. Jesus, as we have already read there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, he started that out by saying, moreover, when ye fast. When ye fast. And so in verse 17 of that, he said, when thou fastest. So it's assumed that people are going to be fasting. Jesus is teaching here. Now, we know a lot of this is dealing with the kingdom of heaven there at the Sermon on the Mount, talking to those Jews. But however, it is talking about people that belong to him. People that were living for the Lord, and he indicates that they'll be fasting. So what are some of the motivations for fasting? Fasting is not, get this really clear in your head. Fasting is not an attempt to gain God's favor. That's not what it's for, all right? It's not an attempt to get him to change his mind. We're not trading our fasting for God's favors. That's not what it's about. Some people think, well, this is something really serious. If I fast, then maybe God will be happy with that and he'll allow this in my life or he'll allow that. That's not why you fast. That's not your motivation. Your motivation for fasting is to bring you closer to God. Not to bring God closer to you. He's going to be as close to you as he can. It's to bring you closer to him. And so your fasting, the object of your desires is your passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your motivation, is your passion toward Jesus Christ. You love him and you want to be close to him. And so fasting is a spiritual act as opposed to physical. Sure, we physically abstain from food, but it's a spiritual act we're doing. It's not physical. When we fast, we find, if you fasted Monday, you'll know this, you find yourself getting closer to the Lord, because when that stomach growls, instead of thinking, I can't wait till this is over, every time my stomach growled or I got hungry, what did I do? My thoughts went directly to the Lord. And I started praying. I was like, Lord, help me with this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I found myself all day long praying. And so praying, and of course, praying and fasting goes directly together. But so we become very vulnerable when we get hungry. A lot of people get very angry, you know. But it's our passion for the Lord Jesus Christ that motivates us to do this fasting. And so when your stomach growls, you think, you know, go to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, you know, for allowing me everything. You start thinking of all the things God's done for you, and you're thankful for it. And so we fast because we're hungry for God's word. We fast because we long for his presence in our life. I know that's the reason I do. And also in our church. I call for a corporate type of fasting for the whole church. If you're able and willing to fast, that's a corporate call to fast, as we saw Ezra do. And it's for everybody that loves the church and loves the Lord and wants to see the Lord do work. And what we're doing is we're just showing the Lord that we mean business, God. We want to get close to you, and this is what we're seeking for. And we fast because we're looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. When's the last time you woke up and you thought, this may be the day the Lord comes back? I've done that, but it's not every day that I do that. You would think that we would think more often. I know the early believers, they were looking for his return any day. And I believe sometimes we forget about it. But we fast because we're looking for his return. And we fast because we long for Jesus more than we long for food. That's the reason we fast. So those are our motivations. Our motivations is our passion for the Lord Jesus Christ for fasting. Now, I call this the 9 Mondays of prayer and fasting. And they're centered upon, really, revival for our church. Now, 2 days from now, I'll be your pastor for 7 years. And I have never had a revival service. I never called a revival service here yet. This will be the first one that I have had here. One reason being is because I don't like the thought of setting dates and calling it a revival. There's something about that that just irks me. It's a revival meeting. But revival will not come because you called a day and a time. Revival only comes when you get right with God. When he starts those flames of revival down in your heart. It may be before revival services happen, you know. But revival is not some called time we get together. We don't wait and say, well, boy, things are going to get good on those days, October 14th through 17th. Well, we're really going to see something then. No, we want to see something before then. And so all this should just lead right up to it. And so revival is, by the way, we're not trying to get God to fill the church up. All right. Some people say, well, I don't think it's going to work. Fasting every Monday and praying like that. He's not going to fill the church up. He's not going to bring people in. That has not got anything to do with why we would fast. That's got nothing to do with revival, by the way. We're not trying to see how many people we can get in this church. We're trying to start revival in our own hearts. This is for us. This is for our church. And, you know, a lot of times revivals, everybody thinks, well, that's the time that people come that don't usually go to church and they get saved. That does happen, but that's not the purpose for revival. Revival is for God's people to get their hearts on fire for him. That's what revival's for. And so we're seeking God's direction. We're trying to get close to him. We're praying that he sends revival in our individual hearts and in our church. So fasting should always be accompanied by prayer, of course. Jesus said this cometh not but by prayer and fasting.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.